What day is it?
Sunday!
Well, glory to God.
That's what I'm talking about, brother. You better believe it. You better believe it, man.
Praise God.
Jesus.
How about that? How about that? We're going to talk about that a little bit later. Good stuff. Good stuff, man. Hey, by the way, and I got to say thank you, Chris, man. It blessed me. It inspired me. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. God bless you for your obedience in the Lord. Praise God. And thank you, Lord, for your amazing ministry to us, God. Lord, thank you that you would call us together here in this place, God, to prepare us for all that you have for us to do this year and today, God. Thank you that you've even called us, Lord, and chosen us. God, thank you that you have prepared us and equipped us and given us the tools, Lord, and the resources to build your kingdom and to build those things that last for eternity, God, and that don't just fade with time and fall and crumple to the ground, Lord. Things that we leave behind when we leave out of this place. Father, thank you for giving us the tools to build an eternal future in glory with you, and that you would condescend to allow us the taste of your goodness even now, God. And so I just want to pray, Lord, that you would flood us with your glory today. Just fill us with your glory and your presence and power here in this place now today in Jesus' name. And his church said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I believe the first message of the year is very important. I think it sets the tone for what's to come. As we're starting out, I think this is very significant. And as Dave was saying, what is our purpose? Where are we going? What do we want from God? What do we want to see? Are we just here because, you know, this is where we're supposed to be on Sunday morning and we don't want to commit a mortal sin by not being here, so we fulfill our obligations and show up? And I'm not even Roman Catholic, so, you know. Although I was Christian in the Roman Catholic Church as a baby. Why are we here? What are we looking for from God? Why do we come? I hope we come seeking and expecting something from God. Because he is the living God. And I know it's his heart, his passionate desire to meet us here on Sunday morning. To wrap his arms around us. I mean, he's with us. He is in us. But there is a way, and God is everywhere. You know, when you study theology, God is omnipresent. There's no place that God is not. And yet he manifests himself to bless or to curse, to empower or to tear down. And I want to pray that the Lord would just manifest his power in our midst, especially this year, 2009, that we would encounter him as the God of glory and the God of power. That each of us would get that fresh, new revelation of God from God. Glory. And so I think it's very important, this first Sunday of the year, this first message of the year. And it thrills me as we continue our study of the book of Acts that we come to the place where we are. We're going to look at the story of a guy named Stephen. Amazing man. I read about Stephen and it thrills me because I can see myself and each of us in Stephen. Because Stephen was not an apostle. He was a guy. Now, he was don't get me wrong, he was no slouch. He was a man, Bible says he was full of faith and wisdom, full of faith and power, full of faith in the Holy Spirit. And he walked with God and he knew God and God blessed him in amazing ways. God anointed him in amazing ways. But he was a guy. And we're going to read about Stephen. There are no books in Scripture named after him. He wasn't one of the apostles per se, but he walked as though he were one of the 12. The anointing that was on him, the power that God clothed him with. Thank you, Gus. As Stephen was literally clothed with the power of God. And the things that God did through him as he was wrapped up in that glory and in that power and in that light. Stephen was basically sort of like a deacon. He was simply chosen to wait on tables. We heard about that last week. There was a problem that arose in the church. Stephen was one of the ones that was chose chosen to deal with it, to wait on tables, to give out food to the Hellenistic widows and the Hebrew widows. And yet, the depth of Stephen's character and the power of his ministry far outstripped the task and the duty that he was assigned to in terms of position. As a person, as a man of God, Stephen far outshone what his simple title or position was. And that's really what it's all about, isn't it? It's not about titles. It's not about positions. It's about the depth of our character and our walk with the living God. So let's turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 8. I'm sorry, Acts chapter 6, verse 8. Starting at verse 8. And when we started this chapter last week, we said, you know, basically, whenever the church is moving powerfully in the Lord and things are happening and the Spirit is working miracles and deliverances and filling people, you can generally expect that the enemy is going to counterattack. If we are basically, what is it? Man, the word escapes me now. Basically, when we're wreaking havoc on the enemy camp and we are going in there and delivering the captives, setting people free, pillaging, that's right. If we are pillaging the enemy camp by the power of God, he's not just going to sit there and roll over and take it. He's going to counterattack. And we should not be surprised at that. We shouldn't freak out and come undone because the enemy counterattacks. We should rather be prepared so that we can stand in the power of God with the armor of God and having done all to stand strongly on the word of God. Now, last week we said that basically the enemy's attacks can come into two different kind of categories, internal attacks against the church and external attacks against the church. We have weathered both kinds in the history of this little church here. And last week we looked specifically at an internal attack that Satan tried to cause division in the early church. You had these Hebrew widows, which were the traditional Jewish widows. You had these Hellenistic Jewish widows, which were steeped in Greek culture, and they had a little bit of friction going on between them. One of them felt slighted, and that friction could have split the church early in its infancy. Division is a dangerous thing. The enemy knows that. That's why he's so good at it, because it works. And he started trying to cause division, you know, divide and conquer right there in the early church. But thank God the apostles were men full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and they were able to counter that rather than trying to deal with it themselves as they always had. God gave them the brilliant insight to delegate that to some of the people that were there. And they said, okay, you know, it's not appropriate for us to leave the mission of being apostles and wait on tables, but there are people who are gifted in this kind of thing. Let's let them do that. So the people chose 7 men full of wisdom and the Holy Spirit. They laid hands on them, and they basically quenched the enemy's attack right where it started. They brought wholeness again. The division, the breach was healed. And it's incredible what happened after that. Stephen was one of these guys. And you would just think that Scripture would just go on and say, okay, well, you know, now that they did that, the apostles went and did something else. But it doesn't. It takes a very interesting turn. And here's what it says in Acts chapter 6, verse 8. Let's read it together. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Now I'm going to pause here. We're going to go on and read the rest of that scripture, but I'm going to pause right here for a second. Here's this guy, Stephen. He's been chosen to hand out food. He's basically like the cafeteria lady without the netting in her hair. You guys remember that? You know, public school, you get in the line, you go down the line, and the lady would be there with her hair in a bun and, you know, a little netting on it. She'd give you, like, you know, this really crusty macaroni and cheese or some, you know, kind of Salisbury steak. Yeah, right. That was basically Stephen's job, to be the cafeteria guy, you know? The widows were there. They were hungry. Thank you, Ty. It would be really embarrassing to fall over this plant. He was basically there. You know, I don't know, maybe he had long hair back in the day. Maybe he might have had his hair in a net or something and pulled up in a bun, but he was a cafeteria dude. Lowly position. Praise God. It's amazing sometimes the people you meet in the lowliest of positions, how they are royal in character, brilliant, intelligent, deep, profound people anointed mightily of God in the most seemingly innocuous places sometime. Don't ever look down on anybody because of the position that they're in. God put some amazing people in some of the lowliest positions. Jesus himself was born in a manger. They put him when he was a baby, they put him in a feed trough. That was his crib. But he was the Lord of glory. And here's Stephen, the cafeteria man, full of wisdom and the Holy Spirit. And he didn't care about titles. He didn't care about positions. He didn't care about the praise that come from men. And we'll see that as we go on. He did not care a lick about what men thought of him. He was centered on one thing. What does God think about me? Am I pleasing to him? Am I saying what he's called me to say? Am I doing what he's called me to do? Am I walking with Jesus Christ? Whatever the cost. That's the kind of man Stephen was. And God honored him by blessing him with his amazing power ministry. His amazing gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, prior to that time, and this is significant, guys. Seriously, this is a very significant passage. Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. In the book of Acts, prior to that time in the early church, there wasn't a bunch of people going around doing signs and wonders except for one group of people. Who was that? The apostles, they were the only ones. And as we started out going through the first six chapters, you kept seeing that over and over and over. Acts 2:43, then fear came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were done through the apostles. Acts 5:12, and through the hands of the apostles. Many signs and wonders were done among the people. That's the way it was up until that point. And now suddenly there is a change. And here's Stephen. He's basically sort of a deacon, the cafeteria guy, but he's full of faith and power, and he's doing not only signs and wonders, he's doing great signs and wonders among the people. He's doing apostolic signs and wonders. He's doing, I'm sure it included miraculous healings of various kinds. I'm sure it included, maybe he was healing people who were lame, you know, like the guy that Peter and John healed at the temple. People who were not able to walk and their legs had atrophied and were... There was barely any muscle still on the bone, and as that power that was on Stephen fell upon them and their legs received strength and power, these guys probably leaping and jumping and praising God. Who knows? Maybe he healed some blinded eyes. He was doing great signs and wonders. Amen? What else do you think he might have been doing? Might have fed some multitudes. Yeah, here's the guy. You know, they got one basket, and here's all these widows. Who knows? Maybe that basket just kept on giving food. Could have been. Great signs and wonders. What else do you think he might have been doing? Take a shot. How about casting out devils? Casting out, healing people who were oppressed by the devil. That torment, living in that deep darkness and anxiety, their soul eaten up with demonic oppression. Just a shell of a person, and inside chaos and pain and fear and paralyzing anxiety with a demonic source. And Stephen comes along and casts them out by the power of God. Maybe with just a word, he just says, "Get out, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ." And suddenly that darkness falls off of that person, and light and love and peace and joy begins to flood their soul in the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine what it must have been like to be around Stephen back in the day? Man, I wish Stephen would come to our church. Can you imagine what it was like? Here's this guy, man, he's giving out food. Suddenly the Holy Spirit gives him a word. He's like, "Hey, you over in the back there, yes, you, come on up here. God has something for you." And halfway up to the cafeteria line, man, he just fall out in the Spirit, and God does something inside of him and maybe heals a hemorrhage or heals a brain tumor or does something exciting, brings him back from the point of death. Man, it was an exciting place to be in that cafeteria, man. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the joy that God brought about through Stephen? The lives that were changed and transformed by this man's ministry. The people that were praising God on their faces in gratitude because of what God did through this man who was obedient to him. This beauty that God was doing through him. But here's the thing, in the midst of all that beautiful stuff, you know, there's basically two spirits you can follow in life. There's the Spirit of God, and there's the Spirit of the world. And these two spirits are in direct conflict with one another. The Spirit of God is holy. The Spirit of the world is satanic. And sometimes when you're moving mightily in the Spirit of God, you have an encounter, a power encounter with the Spirit of the world that comes against you to stop that. And that can be a dangerous thing. It can be a glorious thing, but it can be a dangerous thing. And that's exactly what happened to Stephen.